And we've looked back this morning. We've looked back and seen some photographs. There'll be photographs rolling around, and you'll be maybe able to recognize some faces at the end. There'll be more of those photographs up again of who we are and where we've come from. But today is also, as George mentioned, it's also about looking forward. We're here to look forward. I am hugely grateful for what has gone before. I'm hugely grateful for those people who started this church 40 years ago. For people who stepped out and were courageous and brave to make that decision, which would not have been an easy decision, because they wanted more of God, because there was something more of God. Hugely grateful. I'm hugely grateful for all those who've led this church, eldered this church, been a part of this church over 40 years. I count it a great privilege to be part of Liberty Church. But we live in the now, and we look forward to the future. We are launching into an exciting new season for Liberty Church. We declared this year to be a year of taking ground in many aspects, but one of those aspects will be marked by our move into Liberty Center, our new home, which is, you're probably fed up with me saying, we're so close! But we are really so close. That list of jobs that needs to be completed is getting smaller and smaller. And we hoped that we would be there to celebrate this morning. We're not, but we are so close. A long-awaited home for the Liberty Church family. When Fiona and I came to Liberty Church for the first time in 1998, Liberty had sold Priory Lane, the last home, and was on the verge of moving out, and moved into 1998 into Pitgorthy Primary School, which is now flattened. We were there temporarily for 13 years. We came to Queen Anne. We've been here temporarily for 8 years. And it's time to move out. It's time to move out. It's time to have our home. So what does the future look like for Liberty Church? Last term, the term before the summer, we did a series here on Sunday mornings on the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles. It's the fifth book in the New Testament. And it's the story of the early church, if you're not familiar with it, after Jesus' resurrection, his death and resurrection, and what happened in those following days. So at the beginning of the New Testament in the Bible, you've got four Gospels, four accounts of the birth, life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Many of you will be familiar with those. Those four accounts of the life of Jesus. And then following on from that, we've got the book of Acts, how the church was birthed in Jerusalem and how it grew phenomenally. As we study these chapters together, there were two things that stood out to me, two marks of that early church. They weren't the only two marks. There were many marks or characteristics of what that church was like. But there were two things that just stood out to me at the time that we went through that passage. They're the same two things that were at the birth of this church, that were a catalyst for the birth of Liberty Church, that were in the vision behind Liberty Church. They're the same two which must be a part of our future. We've got a cake coming up. I like cake. These two marks are vital ingredients of the cake. They are not icing on the top. I've said this before. They're not icing on the top. They need to be a part, built in, to who we are as a church as we go through. So what are these two things? Two marks of the church. The first mark is very simply the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what we see in that book of Acts is the power and presence of the Holy Spirit right from the very start. Right when things were set into motion, Jesus said to his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John the Baptist, baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Immersed in the Holy Spirit, drenched, saturated in the Spirit of God. And it says in the next chapter of Acts, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. The disciples were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, immersed, saturated in the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues. Tongues, different languages, praising God in different languages as the Spirit enabled them. This Spirit, this breath of God, the word for the Spirit in the New Testament is the word pneuma. It's breath. It's the breath of God. Changed everything. God breathed life into his people, into the church. And it's mentioned many times in the early chapters of Acts. What we see again is people again and again filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and fell on them. First, we see it amongst the Jewish people in Jerusalem. But later, we see it amongst the non-Jews, the Gentiles, the Greeks, the Romans, the people from around about. And they were amazed that God's Spirit was poured out on all people. The Holy Spirit of God, the presence of God with his people. It was seen in different languages. So men and women spoke in different languages. Praise God in what we call tongues or different languages. Prophetic words. Words where we hear God and we speak it out what God is saying. Insight and knowledge into the lives and situations of people that could only come from God. Dramatic healing, miraculous events. People being broken out of prison. Great boldness. These dramatic signs, but also what we saw was the people who were willing to give it all. Willing to sacrifice everything they had to sell their homes and their fields and whatever else for the glory of God. Willing to sacrifice their own lives. An amazing generosity, an incredible unity and love, perseverance in the presence of persecution, and forgiveness, worship and prayer, all signs of the presence of God's Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, there would have been no church. There would have been no church. I reckon if the Holy Spirit hadn't come, the disciples would have waited for a while. Hung around, twiddled their thumbs, told a few stories, decided eventually we'll just go home, we'll go back to our fishing, and we'll go back to our tax collecting, and whatever else they did before, and maybe they would form a Jesus alumni, and they would come back every year, share a few drinks, and tell the stories. Remember when he walked on the water? Remember, Peter, when you walked on the water? Whoa! And they would tell the stories, and then they would go home again, and they'd wait till the next year. But it was the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that changed everything for those disciples and for many, many more. Which brings me to the second mark of that church, which just stood out for me. On that first day of the church, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came, and it tells us that about 3,000 were added into their number that day. 3,000 people were added into the number of that church. In chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2, it talks about the church meeting and gathering in different formats, and it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In chapter 4, but many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. In chapter 5, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Chapter 6, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests, Jewish priests, became obedient to the faith. And then as the disciples are scattered through persecution and moved out of Jerusalem, we see in chapter 11, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. This second mark is quite simply the salvation, the saving grace of our God, of so many people. We have the Spirit, and we have salvation. These two marks. The gospel, which means good news, was proclaimed by those disciples, boldened by the Holy Spirit. The message of Jesus, the Messiah. It was all about Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the one they'd been waiting for. Jesus, the Son of God, who became one of us, who lived a perfect life, who died a horrendous death on the cross, who was buried, and on the third day rose again. Broke the power of sin and death, opening the way for all people to return to their God, to receive forgiveness, and to become children of God. We sang Blinded by Your Grace earlier on. A people who were blinded by the grace of God. You came and you saved me. And the disciples, filled with the Holy Spirit, stepped out with this Holy Spirit emboldened, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And thousands turned to Jesus Christ, Jews and non-Jews. The church grew in Jerusalem. It spread from there to Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I said before, here we are. We are testimony to that it got to the ends of the earth, because it even got as far as Fife, the ends of the earth. Thousands believing the good news, turning to God and being saved. Two key marks of the first church: the presence of the Holy Spirit and the salvation, the saving grace of God for so many. You take either one away and there would be no church today. Church without the Spirit is fundamentally not church. You don't get church without the Holy Spirit. The church is, by its very nature, the body of Christ, empowered and filled by the Holy Spirit, with believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Without that, it's a religious club. And the church with no salvation is a dying church. I love what Bev said at the start. Things that are in the DNA of Liberty Church. This whole sense of discovering God, of more of God, of His Spirit at work in us, and declaring the truth about what we have known, being witnesses to the glory of God. It ties in so closely with what they are, where we're at. So what does that mean for Liberty Church now and as we move forward? Let me go back a little bit. The history of the birth of Liberty Church. If you're reading our website, if you've ever read the history, what it says is Tom Roller, one of the founding pastors who came in 1974, 5 years, I think, 4 or 5 years before Liberty Church was born, or Dunfermline Christian Fellowship, kind of fell in love and married Ruth. And it says in that history, it said, Tom regularly saw Dunfermline's nightlife from the window of a first floor flat just down the road. Began to be burdened to see a lively church in Dunfermline that would reach out to these people. A lively church in Dunfermline that would reach out to these people. What does it mean to be a lively church? Noisy, loud music, swinging from the chandeliers, happy, clappy, charismatic Christians. Is that what Tom meant? Well, actually, yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. A lot of that. Maybe not the chandeliers, but the lights are a bit high to swing from. And in our new home, there are no chandeliers. We do have nice LED fittings. Very difficult to swing from, and I don't recommend it. But yes, he wanted a church that was filled with life. But where does that life come from? It's the life of God breathed into us. It's the Spirit of God. Jesus came that we might have life in all its fullness. Sometimes that life would be expressed in joyful singing and dance and laughter and noise. Sometimes in complete and utter mess and chaos. And sometimes in silence, in intimacy, in tears, in healing, in forgiveness, in a word of encouragement, in a gentle touch, in a hope-filled conversation, in prayer and prophecy, and different languages. All these different ways we see the presence of God. A lively church is a Spirit-filled church where we see the presence of God. And just like that church in the book of Acts, with the life of God pulsing through, bringing life, bringing hope, bringing salvation, and our prayer is that our new home would be a place of life, filled with a people who are filled with the life-giving Spirit of God. But not just our home, not just Liberty Center, but wherever we set our feet, in our schools, in our workplaces, our streets, our homes, the shops, in the gym, or wherever else we go, the Spirit of God would bring life. Because as believers, we become the dwelling place of God. He chooses to live in us by His Spirit. And His church is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the place of God's dwelling. God in our midst. And when God is in our midst, then there is life in all its fullness. But not only a lively church, but a church that would reach out is what Tom envisaged. Just like the early church, a church that would boldly go to serve, to bring hope, to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. Tom's vision was for a spirit-filled church that would see many coming to faith, being saved, added in as the church reached out with love and grace and the message of hope and salvation. Many here are the result of that vision being acted out, being realized. Right from the start of Liberty Church, the DNA was established, just like that early church. A church filled with the life-giving Spirit of God, a church where people were being saved and added in, a God-centered, life-filled, growing family of believers, a church marked out by the Spirit of God and the saving grace of Jesus. Two essential marks of any healthy church. You know, and over the last 40 years, Fiona and I have only been here 21 of those, but we've seen both. And I know that many here have seen things that we have not seen and experienced. I've heard stories, times of great moves of the Spirit, times of salvation and new life. And I confess, there's been other times when the pressures of life, the temptation to settle, the love of this world have meant that these things have not been so evident in my life and in the life of this church. But it takes me a long time to realize, I think, that these are the things that we want as we move forward. We need to pursue them. We need to pursue them. They will not come by sitting back, because the pull of this world will cause us to settle, and we need to fight against that for the things that God has for us. I don't want a life that settles and misses out on the life of God. Fiona and I came to Liberty believing there was more, wanting more. More of God, more of His power, more of His presence. We were dissatisfied, as Bev was talking about. We wanted more. We still want more. So as we celebrate 40 years of Liberty Church, as we launch into a new season of taking ground, moving into our new home, and all that means, these two marks of the early church that were there right from the first day, two marks that were in the heart of Tom as Liberty Church was birthed, two marks that have been key to the life of Liberty over 40 years, these two marks, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in our midst, and the salvation, the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the power and presence of God. These marks must be indelibly stamped into the future of Liberty Church. These marks must be ingredients of our cake. 40 years of Liberty Church. Our name means freedom. Freedom! We won't do the Braveheart thing. Been there. Freedom. And one of the verses that just goes along the name of Liberty Church is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. That's why we're named. That's right in the name of Liberty Church, a place of freedom. As we move into our next 40 years and beyond, we want to see so many experiencing freedom from sin, from the power of sin in people's lives, from the mess, from pain, from guilt, from fear, from poverty, from addiction. Freedom to become children of God with a new identity, a new purpose, and a new destiny in Christ. It is for freedom, but Christ has set us free. Fundamentally, all comes down to one name. On one name only, and that is Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's why we're here. That's why Liberty Church was formed. That's why it'll always be. If it's ever not about Jesus Christ, then we can close the doors and go home. It needs to be always about Jesus Christ, our Savior. Salvation, as Peter stood up in front of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders, boldened by the Holy Spirit, and he said to them, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And a Liberty Church centered on Jesus, filled with the life-giving power and presence of the Spirit of God, stepping out with a message of hope and salvation, will see many come to faith in our generation. So I want to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, whatever you want to call it, to Liberty Church for 40 years. Grateful to have been a part of it for a lot of that. Looking forward to the next 40, and I tend to make the next 40. I want to be here in 40 years' time. Well, I don't want to be here. I want to be down the road. Or maybe, I don't know where I'll be, but somewhere with Liberty Church in Dunfermline. Who knows? Sorry? He may. You're quite right, Gary. Jesus may have returned. In which case, okay, all the bets are off, okay? Absolutely. Which leads me, beautifully, Gary, on the basis of what we're saying, just to say to people, it's all about Jesus. It's all about faith in Jesus. And if you're here this morning, I don't want to miss the opportunity to just say to you, I know many people have experienced faith in Christ, have turned to God over many years and have stories, testimonies of their life with God, powerful stories of God's presence and power in their lives. We believe that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us as we come to God, as we turn to God. But I also believe that God works in the lives of people before we even know Him, before we've even thought about Him. Maybe that's you this morning. And maybe there is somebody here who's just thinking, okay, I've never experienced this life you talk about. What is this saving grace? I don't even know what it means. I'm not quite sure what I need to be saved from. But I want to believe in something more. And I want to believe in a God who loves me. And I want to believe in a life with Him that is way better than I have now. And if that is you, maybe this morning, I want to give you an opportunity. I'm not going to do anything public. I just want to say, you know, I think one of the most powerful things that we can say and God responds to, it was there for me, is that we just say yes to God. That may be, and what you may be saying yes to is, yes, I'd like to know a little bit more. Yes, there's something in this. Or it may be, yes, I want to follow you, God. I want to follow you. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to put my life in your hands and trust you. Or it may be for those who've walked with God for a long time, for you and I, at the beginning of our next 40 years as Liberty Church, just to say, yeah, I've said yes before, God, and it's still a yes. It's very much a yes. I want to love you, follow you, give my life for you, see more of your presence and power in my life. I want to be one of those who brings life to others. I want to be a part of this church, this family. I want to say yes.